This podcast is proudly brought to you by MailChimp. MailChimp proudly supports the mission and vision of Wonderroot. I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonderroot programming podcast. I'm here with Wonderroot's executive director, Chris Appleton. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm great. I hadn't been on a podcast with you in like months, so it's nice to be in the studio and get to talk a little bit.
It's been a while. It has been a while. As we look towards the end of 2013, and I guess towards the beginning of 2014, what is the sort of the state of Wonderroot right now? Like, give sort of a state of the organization from your perspective. What are some of the things that are really important to you as we're kind of turning the corner into this new year?
Well, I thought we only had 30 minutes. it's a really exciting time for Wonderroot right now. We, 2014, we will celebrate our 10th year of since our founding. And so, you know, I've been doing a lot of reflecting lately about just, you know, what things were like a decade ago when Alex and Whit and I kind of started these conversations of what would ultimately turn into Wonderroot. I think the biggest thing that I'm excited, and I can cite a couple of examples of how this manifests, but the biggest thing that I'm excited about right now that we're in the planning mode for, and just thinking really in a dedicated way about the opportunity and responsibility that we have to further elevate our mission of uniting artists and community to inspire positive social change. We've done a really, I think, great job over the last 5 or 6 years of supporting the artist community and getting artists involved with community projects and really dedicating our time and resources to elevating art and artists and artist engagement in Atlanta. And now with this really strong base of artists that we have and base of community support that we have, I think it's time that we push even further on that mission at the intersection of art and activism and art and social change, social justice. And you know, I know that you and Jennifer and Jess and, you know, the rest of the team around here, it seems like to me there's some real energy about further pushing on that real mission we have about making change for people and with people through the arts. Two projects that really come to mind that I'm excited about that we're doing right now. One is a collaborative project with the Atlanta office of the Annie E. Casey Foundation in the Pittsburgh neighborhood in Southwest Atlanta. And we're doing a community-based public art program along a 36-acre site, vacant, empty piece of land that is kind of the gateway to these South Atlanta neighborhoods that connects Pittsburgh, Mechanicsville, Adair Park, Capitol View, and we just launched that earlier this week, actually. Been having a series of community meetings, and Jennifer Lobzins, our program manager, is running that program along with Orinike Odeleyi, who we're excited to be working with, and Jen and Orinike here in a month or so will open up calls for proposals from artists, and in the summer we'll unveil what I think will be pretty large temporary, semi-permanent installation that really is a way for the residents and stakeholders in Pittsburgh and the other neighborhoods around Southwest Atlanta to continue to take ownership of the future of their neighborhood, especially with this large site that will eventually be developed. So it's just a great way of using art as a tool for community engagement and community visioning. I think the other project that's in the real early stages that Jennifer is also leading is this program called Deconstructing Binaries, where we're looking at the visual representation of gender in bathroom signage. And in most places, that representation is binary, male and female. And so this project that we're going to be working with a few other partners with in the spring will be sort of an activist based project where artists will make signage that subverts the traditional way of representing gender in bathroom signs.
And looking at the social change component of the Wonder Root mission, I think a lot of the artists in Atlanta focus on the art side of that equation. And I wanted to get your perspective on how do you build that bridge to the social change part of that? Because a lot of people, a lot of artists create sometimes for more of a creative purpose. But when you want to take it a step further and, well, maybe several steps further and incorporate the social change aspect of it, what's been your perspective on building that bridge?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I mean, Wonder Root definitely feels committed to supporting artists to be artists, regardless of the content of their work. But what we're most passionate about is supporting artists, building a vibrant artist and arts community, and then connecting them to projects and opportunities with a social purpose and a community impact purpose. You know, I think that there's a number of ways to look at that. I mean, when we think of, when we talk about the in art history books, and we think about the work that is remembered, you know, centuries and millennia later, you know, the work that's remembered is the work that is that is political, that is trying to assert some sort of values, and is trying to make change, or is commentary on a need for change at least. And so, you know, I think that that's an important thing. I hope that that artists recognize, and I think that artists do know this, and I think that most artists actually are working, or at least a lot of artists are working in forms that address ideas and concepts as it relates to social change or some form thereof, ethical issues, moral issues. And so it's not a hard sell, at least for me, I don't think it's a hard sell to talk to artists about the importance and role that they play in social change. I think what Wonder Root's role is in that is providing the opportunities, and so that it's not just about the content of the work that they're making, but the process by which they're making it, the people with whom they're engaging when they're creating it. And so that's really where Wonder Root comes in, is being this conduit or sort of connective tissue between the artists and various organizations, initiatives, communities that are working on social justice issues, environmental issues, health issues, youth development issues, whatever it may be. And we have to create, you know, we have to create those programs and opportunities, and or oftentimes those programs and opportunities already exist, and we just need to make sure that the two sides of the equation are aware of one another.
Looking at 2013 at Wonder Root programmatically, I think there are a couple of programs that to me stand out that I believe have garnered a lot of exposure, a lot of interest. I think Wondership is one of those. I think the Wonder Root CSA is another. And I think at the actual Arts Center, Artists Helping Artists, that program has been another great connectivity point between Wonder Root and the local arts community. So give your take on the state of those few programs.
That's great. Yeah. Wondership, which is a program that's about sort of building community around collections and some of the sort of lesser known, or maybe not lesser known, but less accessed because they're private spaces or private collections. So it's a program that's intended to build community around that. And right now I'm really excited. We think we've got our entire 2014 program calendar put together that we're going to publish here in the next couple of weeks. And we're working with Jennifer Schwartz, who's on our community advisory team for the Wondership program, is the chair of it this year. And Jennifer's been helpful in putting that together. And Wondership this next year, we're going to visit some pretty amazing collections that are very tough to access for the public. We are going to visit some great artist studios. And right now Wondership is a membership-based program. We've got about 25 members and really are trying to continue to grow that. And hope we'll make a big push here in the first part of 2014 to get some more folks involved to really try to show off all these great assets that Atlanta has that are tough to access sometimes as an individual. The CSA, I think, is probably the program of Wonderoot that's gotten the most public awareness, kind of attention, national media attention here in the past year, and lots of good local support for. We're gonna launch the next season, the next round of the CSA, which will be the third cycle, not too long from now. I think on January 6th is our launch date. We've selected the artists. I'm not going to say who they are until the 6th, but we've selected six great artists that we just feel so grateful to for their participation, and got what looks like a long list of people that want to sign up and be a part of it. The CSA, I think, just continues to fascinate people because it's just this really clever business model that we certainly didn't invent. Farmers did, we're adapting the traditional community supported agriculture business model where small farms are selling shares to the farm and the shareholder or the customer, during the harvest season gets deliveries of produce that they've kind of paid for in advance. And so we've adapted that for the arts. We've been doing it for nearly a year now, and it's been really successful, I think, on all fronts. It's been certainly real positive for Wonderoot, but even more importantly, I think it's been a really positive experience for both the artists and the emerging collectors or the shareholders and investors. So much so that we're working with a consulting team from Leadership Atlanta right now, who is further kind of investigating the business model and looking at ways that we can, next year even expand it and further and scale it up and hopefully support more artists and engage more, emerging collectors in an effort to, really just again, play matchmaker. I think that's so much of what Wonderoot does is tries to build relationships in all sorts of different ways between communities of people that can benefit from knowing one another.
Artists helping artists, of course.
Jennifer does a great job of running that program, and it's an essential part of what we do here at the Art Center. Taking art classes and getting instruction and all the different things that we offer, whether it's Photoshop classes or for photographers or video editing classes and Final Cut for people that are interested in, making video and film, all the way to ceramics and screenwriting. We offer such a broad range and it's so affordable. I mean, it's with membership, it's free, which is just, wild, and the classes are small. We usually cap the classes around 5, 6, 8 people, something like that. And so people have a lot of personal attention and get a lot of opportunity to ask questions and get sort of hands-on learning. We're always looking for new classes. People we take submissions from teachers to bring a new idea to the table. And that's how a lot of things come along. Like right now we're doing this recording studio technology class that Roy Henshaw is leading, and appreciative Roy doing that. It's something that he did at Wonder Goodness probably 4 years ago. He was one of our original members, and that's really who's teaching the classes. You know, there are member artists that are a part of the community, a part of the family, and are, you know, contributing back, giving back to the organization.
What is your sense? And I understand that I'm asking questions that I somewhat know the answer to, because we've talked about a lot of these things, but I want our listeners to understand your perspective on this. What is your sense of Wonder Root, the organization, versus Wonder Root, the actual physical location?
That's a great question. You know, I think it's important for people to know that Wonder Root, while our home base is certainly the Wonder Root Community Arts Center in Reynoldstown, where we've been now for next month will be 6 years. You know, only about half of our programming actually happens at the Arts Center. While a lot of it happens at the Arts Center, we're doing a lot in public spaces throughout the city, all over town, in both traditional art spaces and non-traditional art spaces, in schools with youth, in community centers, at universities. You know, we're working at dance venues, at theater venues, film venues. I mean, we're working all over the city, and really trying to get artists out of the studios and out of the galleries and museums, and to go out and engage community where community is. And so that's a lot of the reason that we do the kinds of programming beyond the four walls of the Arts Center that we do. You know, one challenge that we have that we really have to face in doing that is ensuring that the programming that's happening outside of the Arts Center and the programming and people that are using the Arts Center are connected and integrated to one another. And so I think there has been a renewed effort in the last year, and I'm excited about continuing that into 2014 to make opportunities for programs that are happening in one space outside the center or inside the Arts Center to make them make the people engaging with those programs aware of one another, aware of the opportunities to engage, you know, in a space where they typically are not, and continue to make those connections. The Arts Center, I think, is the face of Wonder Root in a lot of ways. It's where people come to talk to us and to see what's happening and all that. But it can also sometimes be a place that is hidden away, and people have participated in programs with Wonder Root outside the center for years and never even visited the Arts Center. And so, you know, we're really continue to work towards and hope that the two can be more connected to one another.
With that being said, what is your sense of Wonder Root's place in Atlanta, given the mission, given all of the programming? What is your sense of Wonder Root's connection to this city and how it's helping to be a partner in a lot of the change that's been happening in Atlanta over the past several years?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that Wonder Root has certainly for the last 5 or 6 years been a integral part. And I say that with gratitude, an integral part of the reemergence of Atlanta's cultural community. I think that we, you know, amongst small and mid-sized organizations and even larger institutions to an extent are seen as one of the leaders in the arts community. I think the biggest thing that we do that I think is sometimes hard to really measure and articulate in clear ways. Wonder Root is a coalition builder. We're a movement builder. We're an energizer. I think the scope and breadth of our programming is in part what allows for that. But I think also what allows for that is how dynamic the people that work at Wonder Root. I think that goes for our staff and our board, the volunteers, and that people really try to kind of live our mission out in the community. And I think that's really helped to build awareness for Wonder Root and our brand. And I think, you know, that the other part is that Wonder Root is seen as an arts organization that's pushing forward a message of social change and equity and justice and sustainability and vibrancy. So at least those are the things that I hope, you know, the place that we play in it, the role we play in Atlanta. And I think that's the case, that we're seen really as much as anything as an advocate for art and an advocate for artists specifically, and then a community builder, which is all a big part of what we want to do.
In 2014, you mentioned that Wonder Root will turn 10 years old. Is this the organization that you envisioned 10 years ago?
It's crazy. You know, I have two answers to it. One answer is, you know, at 21 years old, which is what I was 10 years ago, I'm 31. At 21 years old, like, you think pie in the sky, we're going to take over the world, there's going to be a Wonder Root on the moon, you know, kind of attitude, like everything is possible, which I'm thankful to say. I still think anything is possible, and I think that's a important part of the culture at Wonder Root is that our knowing of optimism and possibility. So in some ways, it's not yet the organization that I thought it would be, because we had these, you know, had and continue to have these huge ambitions in the way that so many 20-year-old kids do. But in other ways, and this is probably the more true thing to say, is that it has so far exceeded our expectations in terms of the scale and impact and reach. I mean, we were just 3 20-year-old kids that you know, had a big dream, but certainly not any real capacity to make it a reality. And so the degree to which individuals and organizations and just the community at large around Metro Atlanta has rallied around our mission and the work we do and our vision has been really, really surprising. So I, you know, the mission that we founded the organization with in 2004 of uniting artists and community to inspire positive social change is still feels very, very true today. I think we learn about all the time. We learn about new ways of implementing that vision and actualizing that mission. But it feels like in a fantastic way, we're doing the work that we intended to do. And there continues to be a huge need for artists and activists to work together in Atlanta to make change. And I hope for the next 10 years, we can work even more to seed relationships at that intersection, to empower relationships at that intersection, and to continue to realize a more just, equitable, and vibrant Atlanta.
And what have you learned about yourself in this 10-year journey?
What have I learned about myself in this 10-year journey? I guess so many of the things that people in their 20s learn about themselves, or when you're 30 that you learn about yourself, is that, like, you're not a kid anymore. What have I learned about myself? So much that I like building community, that's what I'm good at, that I need lots of help for all the things that I want to do and that we want to do. And I think what's been really neat for me over the last couple of years in particular, as we've really worked hard to evolve as an organization from what was a founder-driven organization into one that is more of a community-driven organization and a community-owned and board and community-owned organization. And so I have found how much I want that. I've learned how much I thrive in a space where I'm just a steward of the ideas and resources that come to and through and around Wonderroot, and that I can don't necessarily need to play the role of always driving our direction and what's going on. And really, I just want to synthesize all this different information and synthesize all these different ideas and resources into a community held vision. And I think that that's one of the greatest things that I've learned about myself and I'm grateful for to be, in a role to do that.
Chris Appleton, Wonderroot Executive Director. Thank you for your time.
Man, thank you. And to the folks that are listening to this, thank y'all. It's been, 2013 has been certainly our biggest year of growth. I think it's been our biggest year of impact. And, you know, as we're kind of looking towards what's next, and there is something big up next. I think some of the folks listening know that. And you know, we can't do it without you. We couldn't have done what we're doing without you and for you. And we are going to continue to need the community's help in these big steps that we're taking in the coming months.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Floyd.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MailChimp. MailChimp proudly supports the mission and vision of Wonderroot.